to the passage of Hebrews 10, 25, following.
Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the
Sorry, Vivian, pick up at 24 to give a type of context to verse 25.
And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching.
Read on a little further.
For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for judgment and fire indignation, which shall devour the adversaries.
Okay, thank you. As you listen to the passage, or as you read, you can see a connection between verse 24 and 25. Verse 24 is encouraging Christian not to be selfish. The one thing we cannot afford to be selfish with is our salvation and the salvation of others. Notice verse 24 again.
And let us consider.
Let us consider one another.
Another. To provoke
to
and
encourage,
to love.
Encourage. Because of the way we use provoke in our time. I rather use the word encourage, to encourage one another. And what this verse is telling us is we must not be mindful only of our salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very important. When you see a fellow Christian drifting, it should be your concern. We cannot just shake our heads and say, I feel them business that, if them no one, etc. No. We must be concerned if we see a brother or sister taking step of unfaithfulness, taking step that if continues, if the person continues in those steps, the person will ultimately be weakened and backslide. And a lot of times, we wait until people backslide before we reach out. Here, the passage just read, verse 24, is giving us the preventative step to take. And that is encourage one another to love and to engage in good works. Read on.
Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together.
You see, now, that's, he started giving the opposite of what he said in the previous verse. In verse 24, he was telling the Christian how to operate, what to do, the positive step to take for yourself and for fellow Christian. Then in verse 25, he's telling us some things that ought not to be done. Definitely, I'll be commenting on that in a few minutes. Not forsaking the assembling of yourself together as some are doing. And right here, he's telling Christian, don't take the bad example of other Christians. In fact, let me comment a little on verse 25. The focus and the emphasis in verse 25 is not in reference to brothers and sisters who have become what is sometimes termed hardened apostate. Verse 25 is not addressing men and women who were once faithful and now they are not mere backsliders. They have become hardened. If you met one and try to encourage the person, instead of the person humbly listening, the person become combative and aggressive, like they are against what you are saying, they are against the church, they are against Christianity. That's not the type here. What is being addressed in verse 25 is what we sometimes term the mere backslider. The Christian who has been faithful, but now you can see retrograde step. You can see little by little that brother or sister is getting weaker and weaker. Hebrews. I have just been commenting somewhat. I'll be picking up on it. And verse 25. Hebrews was written during the time when the Christian to whom the book was written, they were experiencing in some quarters, experiencing severe persecution. And there are part in the book that indicates that. So Hebrew was written during the time of persecution throughout Palestine. Look at chapter 12, verse 4. Read aloud for us.
Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you.
You have not yet resisted against?
Unto blood.
Unto blood. I was about to read it from the Amplified, but I think you understand what that verse, chapter 12, verse 4, is saying. Yes, you are going through hard times. You sometimes feel threatened, but the writer of Hebrews is saying it can get much worse. Your life might be threatened to some extent, but for the most part, most Christians, or at least some of them, can go about their business. You have not yet resisted
unto blood.
Unto blood. They were putting up resistance against the persecution, but the persecution could have been much worse. That's what is implied in chapter 12, verse 4. Many Christians were greatly discouraged when the book of Hebrews was written. Greatly discouraged. In fact, while we hope that it doesn't come, there are times when some form of persecution does the church good. That's right. Because persecution helps each child of God to examine him herself. To examine what you really believe. How quick and how easy it will be for you to give up Christ and Christianity because you are persecuted, you are threatened, and all of that. And a lot of time it takes persecution to separate the wheat from the tares. That's right. So while we don't want it to come in any form or shape, let me beg Christian not to take the freedom we have for granted. Value it. Give God thanks for it that we can come out 4, 5, 6 times per week and worship without being molested.
Amen.
We take it for granted. We never imagine that the time. I was thinking the other day that if things continue as it seems to be going, within the next 10 or so years, we may have laws being passed that you cannot preach against homosexuality. We are hoping that that time doesn't come here, truly. But it may. We are not sure who will get in power and what the moral trend will be 10, 15 years from now. What restriction the church might be under, we are not sure. So let us not take the freedom we have for granted, and let's give God thanks for it. So as I was saying, many Christians were greatly discouraged. Some Christians fell into the habit of neglecting the worship completely. That's the background to verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as some are doing, comes from that environment where some Christians, fear for their lives, were actually staying home. From worship. In a lesson to be shared within the next week, 2 or 3, I'll be showing 3 to 4 reasons why neglecting the worship is just bad for us. That's right. It's not just that you backslide. The word translated forsake is translated from a word which means to let down or to abandon. When we forsake the assembling of ourselves together, we are letting down somebody. We are abandoning something. One theologian said, faithful, regular church attendance was a distinctive characteristic of faith in Christ. In the first century, once you truly believe in Jesus Christ, assembling regularly was a part of your activity. When other Christians assembled together or met together, if you have a healthy faith, you usually want to meet with them also. Run with me to 1 Corinthians 11:17. I'm not going to make much comment on this verse because it's one of the verses I hope to take up in the lesson that I plan to bring. But let us hear that passage. 1 Corinthians 11. Remember, Paul has just finished dealing with the subject of head covering from verse 1 to around verse 15, 16. Now, he picks up on another subject, and that is the way the Corinthians were celebrating the Lord's Supper. Let us hear verse 17.
Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse.
Look. I wonder if you see what I see there. In those simple words, when we meet here any Lord's Day, if we are genuine, it means our betterment spiritually. What the inspired apostle is implying there is every time we meet and worship the Almighty God in spirit and in truth, it is to our good. It is to our betterment. Every time. Once we come willingly, gladly, and once we set out and worship him in spirit and in truth. Hence, Paul says, I cannot praise you because you come together for, read it, brother.
Not for the better.
Not for the better, men.
But for the worse.
But for the worse. That is because they were not worshiping God properly. And that applies to us too, you know, if we are not worshiping properly. If we are not worshiping in spirit and in truth, orderly and all of that. Our coming together is bad for us. But when we do worship in spirit and in truth, guided by God's word, every meet we meet, it is to our betterment. Look at Matthew 18:20, a passage that you well know.
For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them.
May I? If we go around and announce, say, between Wednesday and Saturday coming, that either the Prime Minister or the Governor General will be here, will we have many people here? Yes, we may have the church full. Just on the consideration that the Governor General will be here, My God, shouldn't Christian crave the presence of Christ more?
Amen. Yes.
No, truly. When I'm coming to worship, I know that Jesus Christ promised that even if it's two of us, he would be there. Shouldn't that be part of my motivation?
Yes.
It should be. Why then is not Christian, are not Christians more eager to come out if for no other reason but for that? That Jesus Christ promised that he would be there. More to be said on that, but not tonight. In last week, may I just make this, that is something probably to be discussed. The Bible makes a distinction, as I've said, between the hardened backslider or apostate and the mere backslider. The Bible makes a distinction between the two. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verse 4 and 6, that passage is describing the hardened apostate, the backslider who has become hardened in sinfulness, disobedience, and godliness. You or I, with God's help, don't want to reach that state. I'm not going to comment, but just read from verse 4.
For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift.
Notice the graduation in becoming a child of God. Notice the progressive step by step that brings you or me or any man or woman who became a Christian to where that person is in fellowship with Christ and gaining knowledge and experience. Start again, Vivian.
For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened.
They are enlightened.
And have tasted of the heavenly gift.
Then they tasted of the heavenly gift.
And were made partakers of the Holy Ghost.
They become partakers of the Holy Ghost.
And have tasted the good word of God.
They have tasted or experienced the good word of God.
And the powers of the world to come.
They have experienced, gained knowledge about the world that is to come.
If they shall fall now, away.
You notice the four or five progressive step. When that same person does what?
Fall away. To renew them again unto repentance.
Read on.
Seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame.
You see, this passage is describing the hardened apostate. You and I must always try to meet them before they are turned into hardened apostate. Yes. So I was on the point that, in fact, Brother Peart, after worship this morning, you were sort of making sure that I understood what the point. Yes, I do understand what the points were last week. You want to, I was about to say it, but let me make you say it again. Yeah, that's true. Yes, yes. And it was right along that point, the area, the point came up about if the church have so many services for the week. There was a point that came in. There are 4 services for the week. How did you put that? Let me go on with it then. Have 3 or 4 services for the week. A person decided that they'll come only to 1 or to 2. Is the person committing a sin by not attending all 4? Yes, Brother Pierre. Yes, and that was part of the sermon in the morning. And that was from the fact that when King Saul obeyed or claimed to have obeyed, he carried out only some of what the Almighty God said. And I'm taking this from the book of 1 Samuel chapter 15 from verse 16 following. Saul definitely did not complete his obedience to the Almighty God, but he strongly felt that he did. I believe it was along there the question came up. When the church have so many worship service for the week, a person may purposely decided I'll go only to 1 or to 2. Is the person being disobedient? Is everybody here? Let me ask it again. Is the person being disobedient? What does God expect? If the church have 3 worship services for the week, and you or I decided tax on my time is not the consideration. We are not talking about that brothers and our sisters who might not have the time or whatever. We are talking about a person who just make the decision that I'm not going to go to more than 1 service each week. How should that be seen? How does God judge that brother or sister? Can it be said that that brother or sister is walking disorderly? Any comment, any question? I remember Brother Webb comment, say that again, Dave. If you are motivated, okay. Any other comment? Because it was along this line that I know there were at least three or four comments. One could have been from Dave. One I remember was from Fabian O'Neill. So when I purposely, again, it's not that things over which I have no control came up. It's just that I feel one attending one worship for the week is sufficient, is enough. Is that good or is that bad?
Brother Mitchell, what about those persons who stay away because of a fear factor? And it's interesting that you brought up the Christians in the Hebrew Christians
who were persecution.
Yeah.
So Vivian is asking, what about the fear factor? There are some Christians who they are not here at night because of crime and other things. Huh? But let's turn back to Christians who are not affected so much by the fear factors. It's just that they don't think, they just from their own personal thinking, meeting with Christian once a week is enough. You have said that's not good, or you said that's okay. Based on what? Sister Mill says that person would fall into those who are being discussed in Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembling of yourself together. Yes, O'Neill. And to concur, Brother Wilson, with what you're saying, keep in mind that while persecution was rampant when Hebrew was written, and while weak or unfaithful Christian sought to put worship one side, there were other Christians who didn't stop going to worship. It was to that group that the inspired writer wrote and encouraged, don't take the bad example of those who stop coming. Amen. So what you are saying there, you are correct. Yeah. Okay, Sister Mills brought up a case where Makio people right within our borders sometimes live in community where the gunmen are the person who are in charge when night comes. Yes, you and I are well aware that there are many communities like that. And Sister Mills is saying, what about Christian who may live in those communities? I personally sympathize with members who might be afraid to come out because of the rampantness and the authority that the gunmen exercise after dark. So there is an area where consideration from the human standpoint ought to be given. But we must be careful how we accommodate every little excuse that people use to miss service. A person may not be able to come out because of where they live sometimes. Keep in mind too that elderly people, you have to give some other consideration to the elderly. But a person might be strong enough to come out, but all the person need is a little drive. Okay, has that brother or sister reached out to anybody? Everybody get what I'm saying? Because that is important. I had planned to make some comment, but let me. You know, Brother Simit is passed. He died. From my point of view, I am thankful to God for Brother Simit. From he became a Christian, he has been a trying person. He has been of great encouragement to me just by that consistency. There are many of you brothers who have helped pick him up, Brother Peart Earl, pick him up for worship. I was told since he was sick that on one occasion when I visited the home, the practical nurse was telling me that telling them that he wants to go to church. He was sick and helpless in the bed. But you know what was in his mind? He wants to go to church. You know, on our way home, Sister Mitchell and myself, today we were talking about that. So what I'm saying, when a brother or sister complain that they would like to come out, but this and that, have they reached out to anyone to be of help to them? Okay. But let us not help people to find excuse to miss worship. When you and I try to assist or listen to any brother or sister, Let us make sure that we are not encouraging them in their unfaithfulness, that we are not giving support to them in their unfaithfulness, because the Almighty God would not be vexed only with that unfaithful Christian who is looking excuse. He would be vexed with you too if you give encouragement to the person. Yes, Brother Webb.
So, the local congregation would, in its assessment, also take things like what we hear, we raise.
That's right. That's right.
So, it does matter if the area is a volatile area.
That's right.
That one shots are being shot.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll be able to make some determination as to when, if,
and
how we meet.
That's right.
We have changed our kind of worship.
That's right.
With certain safety considerations and being at play.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
The church
by universal.
Everybody must worship at this time.
That's right. That's right.
The Bible calls that says the local
situation.
The local congregation with its leadership would assess things.
Yes.
To say, well, based on what is happening here.
Yes. Yeah.
Every single day.
That's right. That's right.
Because of the need
of
the membership.
Brother Webb, remember your point, please. Time to come, and it might not be long from now. It might be another 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years when some of you or some of us will be telling members that there were times when we have 10 services for the day. That's going to sound way out to some. But what I'm saying, what you are saying there, we have gone through situation here where we have to have 6, 7, 8 mini services. Go on, brother.
So the local congregation will assess certain things. It would, and let us also bear in mind that we see in scripture as well.
Yes. That's right. That's right.
In
the evening. That's right. That's right.
The first day of the week was a regular working day.
Yeah.
And it is when the Christians would have been freed up.
Yes, because the church was composed, many of the members who make up each congregation were slaves.
Yeah.
And the only time they had to go to worship was at night, truly.
So just to make the point then that you can't just speak about it in a vacuum.
That's right.
There's a role for the individual member. There's a role for the local congregation and the leaders.
Yeah.
And God has done his part.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to be different and look different for each local congregation.
That's right. Very good point. And that came up last week, but it's always edifying to take into consideration the wisdom of God in organizing the church locally instead of universally. You see, I repeat, the Church of Christ doesn't have an archbishop that is bishop over the entire Jamaica. Not even the apostles. Each congregation was autonomous. It runs God's business according to the gospel. Each congregation. And that's the way God wants it. Thanks to God for wanting it like that. You know why? One of the reasons that dusty eye me can see through is the fact that if the Church of Christ was organized universally, when one congregation go corrupt, all the other congregation go corrupt. Because the one or two or five or six men who compose the leadership, when they, as a board or as the executive, make a decision, all the churches that they are superintendent over have to follow that decision. So when they decide to adopt a particular doctrine, every congregation has to adopt that particular doctrine. But when the church is organized locally on a congregational basis, if Patrick City doctrinally or morally or worship-wise go off the scripture, then you have St. Andrew, you have Mona, they can still hold the fort. You see. But when it is organized, like the Anglican, the Methodist, the Seventh-day Adventist, all of them are organized in an unscriptural way. God is really wise. Brother Earl, last point. That's right.
Most of us who have employers who provide a lunch facility, we would never forego a week of lunch and take one day more.
That's right. Yes.
And be served and not by force.
Very important, Brother Sterling. Very important. As I said, a lesson will be coming up on the point. Both discussion last week and this week, I don't make much comment on the fact that Matthew chapter 20, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, and the passage in Hebrew, forsake not the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some, which of the assembly should I attend, Paul? You all get what my drift is? Here you are commanded, we are commanded, not to forsake the assembly. If somebody had asked Paul, who most likely wrote Hebrew, ask him, which of them Where I live, the church come together 3 times for the week. Which of those assembling should I attend? In the lesson coming up, I will deal with that in more detail. But I close with the point that Brother Sterling has just brought up. The Almighty God wants our coming out to be something willing. The Almighty God wants our coming out for us to see the benefit. The Almighty God wants us in coming out to be glad for that opportunity and for us to see all the blessings that are entailed in meeting together in Christ's name. He doesn't want us to put him on a check watch list. Let me see, I was in church last Sunday, so I don't have to go this Sunday and things like that. No. We would have spoiled ourselves already when we see worship in a mechanical way. But more to be said on this subject. Thank you.